Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Goes Without Saying. We are back for another episode of Goes Without Saying with Seffi and Wing. I'm Wing. This is Seffi. Seffi, give us a twirl.
Hi, I'm Seffi.
And...
that was too moody. Let me do it again.
Okay.
Hi. No, okay.
Okay, fuck it. This is it. This episode, look, I'm going to hold my hands up. I think this episode is great.
Same.
We are talking about, well, you've read the title. We're talking about privilege. Class, race, we don't really get into gender or sexuality or really anything meaningful, but I'm sure you will enjoy this episode. I think this is peak Seffi and Wing content, and I've been wanting to do this episode for ages, so I hope you enjoy it. Okay, do you want to go in?
I don't know if I just had a breakdown. Would you call it a breakdown? Or shall we call it a breakthrough?
No, I wouldn't call it a breakdown. Yeah, I'm going to call it a breakthrough.
A breakthrough.
A mild breakthrough.
I'm not feeling the best today, guys. So I really was like, I had a lot of like, I want to do this episode justice. Like we've been wanting to do this topic for so long. Like, oh, I really want this to be an amazing episode. I want to give you the hottest takes, the best kind of insights, and just give you like an amazing episode because this has been so highly requested for so long and on our like top of our list every week.
Kind of highly requested by me.
Highly requested by no one but us. But I really wanted to give the best app, but I just don't think I'm going to be able to today, and obviously that's going to make me feel even worse. But I just think I'm going to come with some, it's either I don't do it today or I come with kind of casual energy, so I'm coming with the most casual fucking energy possible. Mm-hmm. And I hope you like it.
I just want to clarify, I have done the whole we don't have to do this, they don't need anything from you, they love you as you are, and yada yada yada. She wasn't buying any of it, so we're doing it.
We're doing it, yeah. But I don't want us to miss a week. I want this. I love this. App needs to go out on schedule. We're running a tight ship here.
Yeah, we are, yeah.
And my fucking own issues can just wait for a bit.
Are you going to talk about your vagina issues or no?
No, we're not talking about my vagina issues. Okay. Basically, I'm never having sex again in my life.
Okay. It's been a whole time.
That is all stemming from just some sensation of pain in my vagina that is making me want to die. Also, just on that topic, I listened to an old episode. Like, I was on a train journey.
Oh yeah.
I was listening to Off Menu, listening to my King James talking about sort of desserts, and I was like, delicious times. And then I was like, oh, okay, that's ended. Should I just listen to like 5 seconds, like just literally 5 minutes of one of our old episodes, just to see, like,
so insane.
Listen to just some random old one. I think it was like the feminist sex episode.
Yeah, how to have feminist sex. What, like it's hard?
Yeah. Oh, such a good title. But it just made me laugh because I was like, God, we've talked some shit on here. Like, I was going, I'm never having sex with a man again. I'm never having sex with a man again.
Yeah, it's quite scary.
It's like, who is this?
Well, then you wonder why we're hyper aware coming to the episode saying, I'm really sorry. There's no takes from me today. Yeah. I can't say a word, not a peep from me.
When it's like, God, I've talked some utter fucking shit on this fucking podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's going out to, like, people are just finding us now listening to that girl going on and on about how she's never having sex with a man again. Yeah, although I am saying that again. And I am restating that now. I'm joking, but I really just think I would rather have pain anywhere in my body other than my vagina. Mm. It's really stressing me out, actually. Like, it's ruined about 3 days for me now.
It is, yes. It's really got to you. Okay, so it's been a time.
time and a half.
What a whirlwind. Also, I've conquered my fear of sharks, if anyone listened to the last episode.
Oh, yeah.
I literally just went in the water the next day and had the time of my life, and there was not a shark in sight, thank God.
Kind of speaking about it was like an exorcism of the fear. Needed to get it out.
Well, I was almost, when I was in the sea, I was thinking, what are the chances that I would talk about being scared of sharks on my podcast and then be eaten by a shark? The chances are quite slim, aren't they?
They're playing that clip on the news.
Exactly, yeah. But it dramatically lowered the statistics in my favour.
100%. 100%. The odds are ever in your favour now.
So that was very healing for me.
That's great. And no close encounters.
Not that I know of. Not that I know of. No.
It's like your
although
legs.
There have been some men, when I go on my own, I'm getting prowled on like a hawk.
Unbearable.
And chatted to.
Unbearable.
Swimming. We're shouting at each other across the sea.
Catcalled in the ocean.
It's quite a lot. It's like a swim in the other direction. Yeah.
The only predators in the ocean.
It's like kind of do a deep dive underneath.
I have that when I do yoga in public. I think it's a similar thing with swimming. When you realise that a thing you've been kind of doing in your own home or swimming, a thing you've been doing early in the morning on your own, can be sexualised. It's like a thing I'm doing for my own pleasure, my own body.
Mm.
Oh, I forgot this was also like a male gaze fucking thing.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot like this would be like in porn as well. It's like, ugh, mm-hmm. Fucking get away from me.
Yeah.
I had a group of builders. They were filming me.
What?
Yeah. Have I not told you this?
No.
It's like this group of builders, they all like on their break. I'd taken my little mat to the park and I was like doing my yoga.
Mm-hmm.
Quite a confident move from me, I'm not gonna lie. Quite confident.
Where were they building? The park?
No, they were building the houses around the park. They weren't building the houses on the park. They were sort of fixing up.
They were close to you or no?
They were on like a bench near me. They all came and like sat on the bench near me.
Oh, right. God. So it's quite a scary distance.
And I was like, okay, I'm just going to continue.
Mm.
And then I was like, wait, no, they're watching a video on their phone for sure. And then I was like, fuck, no, they're literally filming me.
Oh my God, you've been Gina Martin'd.
100%.
So what did you do?
I continued for a bit. I moved, and then they were still looking, and then I was like, oh, fuck it, I'm just going to leave. They just, like, completely ruined it.
Oh, God. Well, if anyone sees that video of Seffi somewhere...
Her downward dog is shit! But that's horrific in the sea, because that's like, there's nowhere to go.
Well, you're in a bikini, and it's comments on the bod.
Oh, for sure.
Quote-unquote bod. It's...
terrifying.
Scary, yeah.
Well, it's like, I either go out to sea or the shore.
Well, that's the thing, is that one of them... This is the first time I didn't go with my boyfriend, funny enough. And this guy was like, being like, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, blah, blah. And then when he got out of the sea, I thought, oh, great, he's gone. So I had my eyes on him on the beach and then he was getting dressed. I thought, great, he'll be gone soon. Because I wanted to leave and I thought, I'm not doing a Baywatch out of the water because his situation is kind of right next to my situation.
Nightmare.
So I'm not walking up and then we chat like while I'm kind of in my bikini and a towel on the beach out of water. It's like, I'm real fish out of water. It's like, get me out of that situation. He was getting dressed. I thought, great, he'll be going soon. Then he sat down. I thought, you should be going soon. Mm. Then he started putting stuff in his bag. I thought, great, he's going soon. And then he just sat chilling. Again, I thought, oh, you should be going soon.
Who's waiting for you?
And I'm swimming laps. My hands are getting all crinkled up. I look like an old lady. It's been 84 years. And then slowly, I could see him like looking back and forth, like, oh, I was like, really? Like, I'm trying to wait you out here. Like, can you scram?
And he's waiting you out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, we could do this all day, buddy. I've got no plans today, so I can do this all day. I don't know about you. I know you've got a work and a wife to go to.
Yeah.
And he didn't leave, basically, so I had to run away.
How did you do it?
He was literally facing the other way, and I kind of swam back to shore, quickly sprinted.
A mix between swimming, like a real evolution in real time, out of the water on your legs.
Yeah, right, literally. It was just Baywatch in fast forward.
Yeah.
And I just picked up my towel and ran, because I live close to the sea. I could just run back home just in my towel. And that was that. I made out alive.
Live to tell the tale.
But it does change the experience.
Completely changes the experience.
Mm. The thing is, he was really nice, but it's just...
Well, you can be really nice and still be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I'm sure fucking Ted Bundy looked fucking nice.
Boy, does he look nice. We've made a whole pop culture...
Don't we know?
...phenomenon out of it.
But it's like, yeah, you can look really nice. You can be, oh, like, how are you doing? I still know you're looking at my boobs.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you're saying, oh, lovely day, isn't it? It's like, can you get away from me? At 6 a.m. in the morning.
So there we go. But anyway, not scared of sharks anymore, just scared of men.
Yeah. Well, that's great.
No news, nothing new to update. Okay, should we get into the app?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so to the listener, and actually I'm going to say this to you, Steffi, as well, which we haven't said. I think this episode should not begin with us listing, I have had privilege in this way, I haven't had privilege in this way, I've had this, I haven't had this, I have this, I haven't had this, to try and give you, us, contextualize in terms of the privileges we may or may not have. I think we're just going to speak freely and you'll just keep inferring our situation as you have been doing. If this is your first time listening, then welcome. But I just think that's not useful. No one cares. So let's get into it. Let's get into the good bit. That being said as well, I feel like we could do a million episodes on privilege. I just feel like I'll never be done talking about this shit. So
no.
Oh, where do I start? Because there's so many good messages. Actually, that's where I'll start, is by saying thank you to everyone who has sent in messages this week, any other week, anytime. Thank you for listening, even.
Thanks for being here.
God, it's quite mental, really. Yeah, thank you so much for being here.
I mean, we say it every week, but it is just that thing of,
I don't think we say it enough.
No, I know, but it just, each week it's just like, wait, you're still here? God, you're actually, do you like us? Are we friends? Like, do you you like what we say, do you?
Oh my God, someone said, this actually really can make me cry. They were like, they sent a lovely message and just one sentence was like, you didn't, like, actually they were like, I've been listening for ages, but you didn't know it. But as soon as we listened, we clicked.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, I didn't know, but I'm really happy to hit that. How sweet is that? Like, you had no idea, but we clicked. It's like, oh, I'm really...
So stunning. Ooh,
makes me emotional. Isn't that really sweet?
The sweetest. Thank you so much, everyone.
So nice. Okay, actually, you know what? I'm going to read this one. This was someone came to the DMs for this, and it really, I was going to say wet my whistle, but it actually just kind of made me froth at the mouth with anger, which I kind of feel like this whole topic kind of does.
100%, yeah.
So this person said, they said, I have a friend at uni who I class as one of my best friends, but I really struggle with how she openly admitted to me that she changes her accent and wears cheaper clothing on purpose so she doesn't come across as middle class and get judged for it.
God.
Brackets, I'm very much lower working class and she knows my family's financial struggles. She's very well off and I just think, accept and acknowledge your privilege. No one hates middle class people, but purposely coming across as poor when you're not leaves a really bad taste in my mouth. Since when was it a trend to purposely make yourself lower class or make yourself appear lower class? And then she said, thank you so much. They said, thank you so much if you read this. Hope you guys are having a good week. It's like,
No.
But thank you so much for sending. But
hard no, but thank you.
Yeah, talk about a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah, that is awful. And I know this as well. I've seen this around.
More than anything.
It is unbearable to kind of to behold. It's like, what am I seeing?
Someone said, because we asked on the story, when did you first think about like privilege and your class in particular?
Yeah.
And someone said uni. I went to a stuck up uni and I've never been so looked down on. And someone else also said Sussex Uni has so many rich people who don't know they're rich.
Yeah, that's
or don't
good.
Think that they're privileged or whatever. Yeah. And I just thought, you know what, you're fucking right, because I definitely had a similar.
Yeah.
That was my experience for sure. I'd never met anyone who went to a private school until I went to uni.
No. Well, I knew people, but never like. Well, none of my friends.
I just never met anyone. I remember they were like, it was like a fucking unicorn. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, now we're friends. Oh my God.
Everyone.
Yeah, literally everyone. Crazy. Yeah, it is crazy. And they do, it's just crazy because when, I was reading a really good thing on this, but someone was basically saying, when you're working class or like if you've actually struggled with money or whatever, and it's not like, oh, my dad won't buy me like this new coat that I want. It's like, shit, I don't know how I'm going to pay my rent and I'm letting my whole house down. They're all going to know I don't have any fucking, what the fuck am I going to do? It's not this cutesy thing. When you're actually working class or you've actually struggled with money or when you don't have like a middle or upper class experience, and I do think the class system in Britain is so insane, you're not proud, you're not trying to proudly come across as working class.
Well, you're doing everything to kind of hide it.
You're doing everything to cover it up. Yeah, the last thing I wanted was anyone having an inkling.
Well, that's what's so like particularly like literally disgusting about kind of private school people, rich people pretending like kind of performing like working classness or like quote unquote poorness. It's like, you're joking, right? Because when it was seen as cool or like desirable to be super wealthy and fit into that aesthetic, like the Jack Wills, Abercrombie and Fitch aesthetic, I'm pretty sure you were conforming to that. Mm. And now you want to wear fucking Adidas.
Not even Adidas, it's like fucking Alessi. actual working class people can't afford these clothes now
yeah.
because you've gentrified it. And they do the same thing with class as they do with race. It's like you want to take everything from like a black culture and take it on as your own. You want to take everything from a working class culture now because you think it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool. Wow. It's so hurtful, actually. Like, it's so mind-blowing. And it's, I messaged that girl back who said that, you know, she had that, I think she calls her best friend, like one of her best friends. And I said, like, one of the worst bits about that is you have so much shame around it that if you were to ever challenge that, and you feel it, you can't challenge it really, because you're met with the societal view that like anyone, oh, working class people are just so bitter. You're just bitter. They're fucking jealous. They're fucking jealous that like, sorry that my parents could afford to put me in a private school. Sorry that my parents can afford to give me X, Y, and Z. It's like, no, don't be sorry. Just don't be a dick.
There's often the phrase as well of like, I didn't choose it. I didn't choose mm-hmm. this. Like, I didn't. And it's like, what is that? Like, really, what is that? Like, I didn't choose to go to a private school. It's like, yeah, but you still benefited from that. You chose to participate in all of the things that make you benefit from that. It's like, no, it wasn't a choice, but you still lived that. You still got that. So then to suddenly flip it on its head and be like, I especially also think with like using slang and things like that, like the language that people use.
It's insane.
It's fascinating. Like I also think when I went to uni, I had the experience of realizing that what I considered was like wealthy people were actually considered like poor people. I was mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, like my rich wasn't rich. Okay, got it.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting someone, this boy who was...
I'm going to be annoyed in this whole episode.
Yeah, yeah, yes. It's fucking angering.
For fuck's sake. Okay.
It was this guy, privately educated, going to Oxford Uni, like super rich, rich, fucking privileged guy. And just the way he was speaking, like he was...
Oliver Twist.
Literally. It's like, this can't not be offensive. Like, this is actually like why do you think you can get away with speaking like this? It's actually like quite... it just makes your blood boil, doesn't it? It's like, how dare you? How dare you like appropriate the language?
Well, that's the thing. Why do you think I sound like Emma Watson now? For good reason, because I had to fucking try. I had to spend time changing who I was.
Training.
Yeah, because what I sounded like wasn't good enough. Like, the slang I was using was not going to be acceptable. And also, that was still in a working class town. So I went from a working class town in London to a working class town, which I viewed as the countryside. And it still was like, oh, it's fucking insane. You know what is a good film? The Riot Club.
I've never seen that.
I know, and you should watch it because it will really make you sick.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't watch it, because I knew it would make me sick.
Fucking awful. I just think uni exposed me to some
crazy shit.
Crazy shit.
And we didn't even go to like one of the quote unquote,
yeah,
if you're gonna use it, Russell groups. We didn't go to like one that is known for having elite sort of fucking people there. We went to just like what is seen as quite a standard, normal left wing uni.
Yeah, but it's not though. It's all middle class white kids.
Of course it's not. That I'm doing quote marks this whole time, but I forget that this is a fucking podcast. We went to one that is seen as like a left wing liberal uni. Tell me where that is in the actual politics of this, because it seems like you've just taken in everyone that applied from private schools and you've just been like, okay, let's get some of these people.
Not even just private schools, state schools, but middle class kids too. It is crazy, because also it's just insane. But loads of people anyway were talking about the uni experience, because it kind of, if you've been surrounded by a working class bubble, it's very confronting.
And I think the other way around as well, like the struggle that I saw from wealthy people then being confronted with their wealth was also like, oh, okay.
Yeah, there were some few messages that looked like that, actually.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting way round as well.
Totally.
From seeing people in that bubble suddenly having that bubble burst as well, it's like, oh, okay, are you shocked? Are you... It was crazy to see the amount of, like, almost surprise that they were met with. And denial, I guess.
It is hard. You know what I would say as a tip? Because I actually think I've come to the conclusion, I don't regret it, but if I was going to uni again, I wouldn't have stayed in the accommodation that I stayed in. Because the accommodation that I stayed in was like the ensuite one, which meant they were like one of the ensuite ones, one of the nicer ones, which meant that it was full of
rich people,
like middle class and upper people. Yeah, which just made me feel shit from day one, I think. And I think I didn't realise how shit... Or I think I just really, because part of the masking, within that then you underplay how fucked it is.
Yeah.
It's very isolating. Because also, I remember you even said to me, how did you afford to live in Northfield?
Oh, wow.
And I lied to you and I said my grandparents paid for it. They didn't. I was just in a crazy student loan and my overdraft.
Yeah.
Like, I was not supported by, like, my grandparents occasionally sent me a bit of money, which was really nice, but I was not financially supported at that time.
What a weird question that I would ask. How did you afford? Did I say it like that?
I don't think you said it like that. No, you were just saying, like...
God, that made me sound like I'm kind of...
No, no.
How did you afford to be here?
No. I think we were talking about how insane it is that the standard at uni is so high.
Yeah.
And blah, 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 blah. And you said, how did you afford to pay for Northfield? Because it was fucking expensive.
It's mental. And I remember speaking to my friend who went to the same uni.
Mm-hmm.
She was in a different accommodation. She was like, why did you choose that accommodation? I was like, well, I'd been working for the whole year before and I had a big student loan. So it's like, yeah, okay. Well, I was like, okay, fuck it, I'll do it. Not realizing that actually there is a huge divide within the... Just who you're surrounded with at that like formative time is it is really crazy.
And then even then, so think of how crazy that was for you, and then all the people who had been still working the year before and still had a massive student loan and still couldn't cover things. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, I think that people ask us about advice for uni and stuff like that all the time. And my advice wouldn't necessarily be don't stay in Northfield at Sussex, but it would just be, I just think if this is going to be like a sore point for you, I don't know, maybe be prepared for that. And also, like, I don't know, like, don't let it get you down. It's such a wanky thing to say, but, like, I don't know. I think for me, I think it's important to just be true about who you are, and you don't have to worry really about people who, like, do you know what I mean? Don't try and be around people who have a really different situation to you, because I didn't like, you know, I don't connect with these people. So why am I with them? Do you know what I mean?
Literally. I mean, talking of uni, like, people did come through with so much about uni, and it is mm-hmm. so, like, even if you didn't go to uni, or you're yet to go to uni, or you went to uni fucking years ago, or it's just something that is fuck the establishment, yeah, we fucking agree. It does come up a lot when you're talking about class, because it's the first time that everyone is in their, like, own little bubbles, and that, yeah, the bubbles may extend further than some other people's bubbles, but you're all in your kind of what you perceive the world to be. Suddenly you're uprooted from all of that, shoved into another world where there's people from kind of all over the place, but yeah, completely geared to, like, middle to upper white rich people. But there is kind of, you're thrown into a different world. You're endlessly questioning where you fit within that. And if you meet the mold of what's there, it's like, okay, cool, you might not have to think about it so much. But I still think if you're in any form of outlier to
mm-hmm.
just, like, wealthy white kind of horse girl,
mm.
you are going to be questioning, like, why is there not more of me here? Because at home they were all me, they were all just loads of me,
mm.
so why am I now the only one representing that whole fucking group?
Well, kind of, oh, at home I was kind of like, I was pretty well off at home.
At home I was fucking a queen.
I was rolling money at home.
It's crazy. It is mental.
It is crazy.
There's just a certain level you can't keep up. You can't keep up with it.
In a way, it made me feel good, like, in the sense of...
You felt like you earned it.
Yeah, you earned... Like, neither of my parents didn't go to uni. Like, my grandparents were both immigrants in London at the same time, and they, like... I got into uni because I went to a shitty little state school, and if I would have went to a private school, I'd be fucking prime minister. Lucky for you, I'm not. But... shit, like, I must have been pretty smart. Also, like, I went to Sussex and I could have gotten... Sussex was really low for the results that I got. Like, I should have gone higher, really. And then I would have really had a culture shock. But I was really... part of it made me really...
proud.
Inside. It was an internal thing. Yeah, it was never something that I shared. But there is a certain level of accomplishment there, which I think is what makes middle and whatever class people feel bad, because they feel like they haven't earned something. And I'm sure they have. And I'm not taking away... anything from them, because I actually, look, I would love to have gone to a private school. I would love to send my kids to a private school, yada, 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 because I think it's a great opportunity. And not even private school. I don't even think private school really is a marker of class. I think you can be, not go to a private school and be much more privileged than people who did, and vice versa. But there was an internal acknowledgement from me of like, oh, I must be all right then, because I did this on my own. Also, with all of my shit, you guys know, I've had some situations in my life. It's like, oh, I didn't kill myself by 16 and I made it to uni. Not bad.
Not bad. Not fucking bad. That is exactly the feeling that is so important to hold on to, that it's like, I don't know, because even beyond uni, but like the opportunities that privilege like affords you don't just end at uni. It's like, no, they continue, and you see that after things. The world of work is rife with this.
Absolutely.
goes without saying.
Well, that's the thing as well, is I would say, oh my God, I'm working class, but having a podcast is about as working class as fucking a trip to Waitrose.
Like, yeah.
Someone actually sent a message saying about the discrepancy between them being working class and trying to get creative roles and all of their friends having much more like financial stability and support and whatever, and the way that they could, you have the opportunity to take risks.
That's privilege though. I think that is...
Absolutely, yeah, that's it.
That's the crux of privilege, that you can afford to...
First crux
of the episode, and it is that you can 100%, you're just bought a little bit of fucking leeway to take slightly smaller risks and or potentially slightly bigger risks than people without that privilege. You can potentially be like, maybe I want to go traveling for 6 months, mm-hmm. or can I do like 3 months, or maybe
opportunity,
I can decide to do an unpaid fucking intern, listen to the little Bo Burnham song.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when people say, like, you know, and I worked really hard, like any holiday I've ever, any traveling I've done, I've paid for all of it. It's like, yeah, because you didn't have to help pay your mum's bills.
Literally.
I'm not saying you didn't earn it. You earned every penny, and I'm genuinely happy for you. I dream of your life. That's beautiful. I'm really happy for you, because I do think that it's a really like amazing thing to privilege. It's called privilege for a reason. It's good. It's a good thing you've got going on. All you have to do, you don't even have to be, in my mind, with when it comes to class, you don't have to be extreme about acknowledging it. You don't have to make it your personality that you're going to be an activist at uni and you're going to take on all of these left-wing liberal mantras as your own. I think just understand in your own mind that people have had a different experience to you and be sensitive to it. So when you're talking to your best friend, you don't end up doing things like buying cheap clothing so you don't come across middle class, or changing your voice so you don't sound posh.
And adopting their language.
Because that, to me, is the problem, yeah.
The language they've been using their entire life, but you heard on fucking Skins.
Yeah.
Fucking a few years ago, and you're like, oh yeah, that sounds good, I'm going to use that. It's like, what?
Crazy.
That is the crux. I'm stamping that as the crux of...
Thank you.
You get fucking opportunities.
Yeah, you do. You do. But they think they don't, though, which is the strange bit, is they think they don't.
Well, that's the bit... We've had big discussions about this with just people in our lives as well. I was once friends with a boy that he was so adamant that he had, like, earned this opportunity. It was, like, an amazing opportunity that just goes without saying anyone would fucking want.
Mm-hmm. A work opportunity.
He was so adamant that he had, like, worked for this, that he had earned it, and it was his just for the taking. But it caused a bit of, like, disruption in my friendship with him, because it was like, you obviously didn't, and it's bothering me. Like, it is actually bothering me that you can't admit that you got this from, like, family connections.
That's the thing, is it's not like... I'm sure he was perfect for the role. I'm sure he was a great candidate. I'm sure he had been working really hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No one's challenging that.
Yeah.
But the reason that you got this...
Because, say, you're a working class boy from, you know, the next town over, you wouldn't even know that company existed.
Well, that was the issue, because the big...
His crux.
...comeback that he had was, no, because it was an open application. His crux that he was offering me was, it was an open application, anyone could have applied. It's like, but do you fucking think...
Oh, I bet you rejected that crux.
I shout all over the crux.
Did not resound.
As if any fucking other working class boy would even have heard of this. They're not Googling that.
Yeah.
How would they have found that? And it's a coincidence that your fucking family... fucking like co-own it and shit, like it's so out of order. Like,
isn't that a coincidence? Yeah.
Or like, you know, the people that run the application process, are you joking? It's just, it's the blindness.
Oh, it's rough, isn't it? It is hard.
It's the blindness that kills me, because it's like, you should 100% take that opportunity, you should 100% do it.
Yeah, but he knows.
I don't know if he does.
He knows deep down, he knows.
He doesn't. He'll live his whole life happy with himself, proud of himself. So I really earned that.
I think you still can be proud of it. I think you still can think you earned it. But I think you can also say, like, I worked hard and I earned something. But at the same time, I was much more likely to get it because of all the privilege I have. I still do that in my life.
Go on.
Can we talk about race?
100% let's talk about race.
Okay. Okay, right. Should I start with talking about Naina once again? Talking about Naina on this podcast, sorry. Also, I just quickly want to say, actually, how amazing it is to have Naina be someone who's shouted us out, because she has an amazing audience. Like, it's not I'm very happy to have that audience here. It's kind of the most beautiful, lovely, sweet, amazing people.
Most wholesome and loving people.
Yeah, it's not scary. I'm not scared of, oh, fuck, kind of...
David Dobrik sent his audience over.
Yeah, fuck that. No.
We're suddenly going to have to start doing prank videos. No. We've had the most beautiful people kind of sent over to us. It's like, wow.
Yeah, it's a lovely bunch. Kind of cup of teas and biscuits on the go. Beautiful. Oh.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thank you. Thanks to Naina always. And thank you for coming if you came from Naina. And thank you for being here if you found us organically. It was meant to be.
Thanks for coming if you came from David Dobrik.
Oh my God.
But please leave. Please show yourself out.
Okay. So I had... Yeah, this sounds hyperbolic, but it's not an exaggeration to say that it was a life-changing, kind of earth-shattering, mind-blowing event that I got from a Naina Florence video.
Cinematic experience.
Yeah, so it was about... it was over a year ago, and I was watching Naina's video on... She has a video, I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's her talking about her experience being mixed race. And it's a beautiful video, you should watch it, it's lovely. I cried the whole time after. Cried during, cried for like 3-4 hours thereafter. It was... And a lot of people sent messages, actually. Let me tie this back in. A lot of people sent messages with this kind of general sentiment. And a lot of people have sent messages over the past few months anyway, saying a similar thing, which makes me feel very... much like I'm not just a nutter creating up issues in my own head, because I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't put it past me. But this Naina video was so monumental to me, and I'm going to use someone's message to explain why. But this person basically said that being mixed race, or being able to pass as white, or being able to assimilate in white spaces, or having a close proximity to whiteness, oftentimes makes you gaslight yourself out of your own racial identity.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the big moment for me watching Naina's video.
It kind of gave you permission to be who you really are.
Exactly. Like, honestly, couldn't say it better myself. That's exactly it, because...
It was the first person being like, this is a real experience, by the way.
Exactly. And I can't... That's why it's really strange now that I know Naina has listened to this podcast in the past, because...
It's fake.
No human should cry that much over a single pleasant YouTube video. Honestly, it's a lovely video. And I went mental over it. And I've had many a time sobbing after, like, since then. Kind of not a day goes by I don't think about how awful I feel about it.
Why do you feel awful about it? A guilt?
Well, let me explain. I feel immense guilt.
Goes without saying you shouldn't, but go on.
Well, thanks. But I really do. Because what doesn't... Well, this also shouldn't go without saying. There's immense privilege. Like, I've obviously benefited from white privilege in my life. And I'm going to make an analogy here, and it's probably really problematic. Won't be the first or last problematic thing I'll say on this podcast.
Well, let's do it. I'm down for cancellation. We're due one anyway.
The only way I can describe it is what I'd done, the only way I can describe that is someone who, for example, was gay and they knew they were gay and they knew in their heart they were gay, but they made a decision from a young age to assimilate and deny who they were.
Kind of commit to straightness.
And commit to living a lie. That's the only way I can describe it, is I committed to living a lie. And obviously there's privilege in that because I could commit to living a lie within reason. It's always come up in different ways, but I could get away with it mostly. Sefi always says, like, you know, people see this space and they're just going to see two white girls, and a part of me dies inside every time. So I'm like, oh, fuck.
Oh, God. Like, do I say that?
Well, yeah, like, you know, like, people are going to see this and they see two white girls and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Oh, like, yikes.
God, I'm coming across like I'm a fucking freak.
Kind of KKK, like,
how can you, as a little white girl?
No, you didn't say that, like, how can you. It was just, that was a conversation about privilege. That was just, you know, it was just a normal conversation. You just asked me a question. There's, I don't know, a part of that is so, a part of this now feeling like, oh, people are just seeing two white girls, kind of like, you know, I spent my whole life denying who I was, being so ashamed, and now I'm going to really try hard and, like, accept who I am. It's just going to be erased anyway, like, no one's going to see it anyway, like, Just, you know, it's funny though, actually, I did say in a different episode, an episode that never saw the light of day, thank God, wasn't about race, the episode, it was about some other topic, I don't know, it was just not very good. And I made this tiny little point, and it's not my point, you know, a million people have said this on the internet, and elsewhere, I'm sure, there is a world out there besides the internet. But people were saying, like, what it means to be white passing, which is essentially just you're someone who isn't necessarily white, but you could pass as white, people might assume you're white, or you can look white enough to get away with it in certain spaces. What it means to be white passing is changing because the look, for example, of looking mixed race or quote unquote exotic or a spicy white has shifted the standard of beauty, or just shifted the way that a whole kind of culture or generation of white girls look. So now you do still look mixed race. You don't look white. You're not white passing. You look mixed race. It's just all the white girls now also look mixed race, which I think is a really important point. Is, I think if you fucking look, it doesn't look a genius. Look at me. I'm obviously, like, there's something going on there. It's just not my fault that everyone else suddenly looks mixed race as well. So anyway, but there were so many good messages about, like, people were saying. So someone said, I feel like I'm very privileged because I quote unquote pass. I pass as white, I pass as straight. And even though neither of those things are true, it keeps me safe from street harassment, clear forms of discrimination, etc. And I think that privilege is something that should obviously be recognised. Like, that's the crux. I'll offer up a crux there and say it's all about privilege.
It is the crux.
It's the biggest point. It's all about privilege. But at the same time, someone else said, and I don't know if I'll find it. Oh, someone said, yeah, this is a great point. Somebody said, having white passing privilege is a weird thing to navigate. I've experienced people being openly racist around me and feeling like it's okay to do so because I'm quote unquote white. And sometimes when people ask me my ethnicity and I choose to tell them, they respond, but you're white, as if I'm lying to them. Lol. Yeah, lol. It's also had a significant impact on my sense of identity growing up, but at the same time, I know how important it is to acknowledge this privilege and use it when necessary to intervene in certain situations. But it's also made me feel like I can't speak up about my experiences around racism, as I sort of feel like a phony, like I'm not black enough. Being mixed race hasn't helped with that. I'm constantly gaslighting myself, convincing myself my feelings and experiences aren't valid because I'm only half black. And I don't know, it's just a heavy old thing.
Just that idea of being kind of torn between two cultures and being like, oh, well, I can fit here. And the world is telling me that I can fit here into whiteness and that that is like the desirable option. Your life will be easier. You've been told your whole life, or you've seen through the world, that life will be easier if you pass as a white woman, and that it's easier to assimilate towards that. Then you don't get harassed on the street and all of these things as much. You can get this easier life. In order to do that, you have to deny an entire part of yourself.
Half of yourself.
Half of yourself. But now it's even more complicated because fucking pop culture, media, all of this stuff is then saying, but what's really desirable is if you have this kind of ambiguous fucking look. And then it's like, well, what the fuck do you want from me then? You want me to be a mixed race woman that performs whiteness performing mixed race woman? It's like,
yeah,
well, can I not just be myself then?
It's funny because I even don't feel like it's something that it's like, we want you to be this. It's more so just, well, we don't want you to be that. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't, it's not about, are you like, you should be like this. It's just, whatever you do, don't be like that.
Yeah.
And one of them is a viable option and the other one's not. I remember, like, I think my first understanding, because also I've said before, I grew up in a really, like, the buzzword of multiculturalism was zooming through early 2000s London at the time. And my, like, even my school was super diverse. So it wasn't like if you were white, you were in the minority, but it was just, like, very diverse. Maybe it would be the minority. I don't know. But there were, like, it was so many different people, whatever. I remember my best friend. I must have been, like, 5, I would say, like, maximum 6 years old. And my best friend, she was white, came round to my house after school in the afternoon. Spent an afternoon at mine. We've all been there. And then the next day at school, she was like, you didn't... I don't know if she said this to me or I heard her say it, like, or something. But she basically said, like, you didn't, like, I didn't know Erin's dad was black. And also, just for the story, my dad isn't black. But, and it wasn't to say, like, she hasn't seen a black person before, because she obviously had. I think it was just, I think that really stuck in my mind.
Yeah.
Because it was the first time that I knew someone was, like, evaluating
perceiving
who I was, yeah, based on my race.
And also kind of shifting your idea of your own dad, because especially at 6, it's like you just see dad.
Yeah.
It's like, that's my dad. But it's like, oh, wait, so you have a perception of my dad of otherness, of difference here. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, okay, that's interesting, because I'm 6.
Yeah, and then a few years later, so I was 10. Were we 10 in the 7/7 bombings? Was it in 2007? We would have been 11.
I guess so, yeah.
We would have been 10, yeah. Was it 7/7/7? They did it. That's a bit crazy. There were bombings in London, guys. Do you guys know? Sorry to bring it up. Let me search. I'm normally, or maybe 2005. I'm pretty good with dates. History graduate after all. Yeah, 2005. I was right. I was right after deliberating 5 minutes. And also the 7/7 bombings were really, I think that did a massive thing. Also, like, post 9/11 world, 7/7 bombings come. It's like, oh God, I remember people in school being like, you know, the Muslims did it. The Muslims did it. And I remember thinking, like, well, the Muslims couldn't do it because I was eating dinner with them last night. Like, what do you mean the Muslims did it? I don't know. There's more there than just a white experience, obviously. And I've denied it over time because of all of the shame and whatever. And that there is shame there. I think the guilt in part is very founded. Like, if I think about, like, my grandparents, like my dad, like
your family.
Oh, I'm going to cry. Like, that's a sickening thing that I've done. It's actually quite disgusting to feel that level of shame about who you are, because it's not just who you are, it's who your family are.
But the thing is, it's, if anyone should be feeling any feeling of shame around that, it's like, this wasn't something that you, as much as it was like a decision that you made for your own safety, it wasn't an active decision. That is, it's kind of, as a child,
it's years worth of shape shifting, yeah.
And as a child, you see, okay, so I am in this privileged position of being white passing. Do I make the decision of safety or the decision of, I can see, oh, your dad's black. Well, he's not black. I can choose otherness.
That's the thing. And I wonder, again, this is also something that should be acknowledged, another crux. He wasn't black, but if he was, how then would that even more so inform
literally
what it was? Because I also, again, just to go back on the privilege, this experience of this silly girl who is passing as white, having all of these issues, is in so minute in comparison to, like, the actual race, like, there's fucking racial violence and, like, real shit going on. And I've experienced racism in my life, but it's in no way to be compared with that. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm comparing myself to that experience.
I think it goes without saying, no one's thinking.
I would hope so. So Naina Florence changed my life.
But I think this is why that video was so monumental, because it does give you permission to be yourself, because it gives you the allowance to be like, just because my experience isn't the biggest, you're not trying to be there as this fucking
I'm the poster child of race.
You're not doing that. I think why that's important is there is, I'm sure, I just fucking know you're going to get messages after this being like, I relate so hard, I fucking relate to Wing so much, because it is a huge experience that is just diminished of being between these two things, and then opting for whiteness, because obviously that is just, okay, well, I can just balm myself in white culture, which clearly just makes your life so much fucking easier. I don't think that's anything to feel any shame or guilt, and it's not like your ancestors are looking down on you and being like, you fucking, they'll be like, yeah, I would have done the fucking same.
You know what it is? Oh, I don't know. I can't even think about my ancestors. It'll drive me crazy. But you know what it is? It's not even about it makes it easier. It really is privilege in the sense that, yeah, it doesn't necessarily make it easier. It just doesn't make it harder.
Harder, yeah.
It's the absence of the negative. It's negative reinforcement.
Yeah.
It's like the paracetamol that doesn't make you feel better. It just takes away the headache. It's just, it's not giving you... I didn't get a one-up from it. I just got away with all of the other shit and then left myself with loads of other shit anyway. I don't know.
I just honestly think that's such like, just what a beautiful like 10 minutes you just gave us from pure from the soul. Like that is so fucking important. I really do think that is going to help so many people.
Thank you. I don't know.
Because it was a big fucking thing. That Naina video. Naina, you've done it again.
You saw it. You saw me. I did sob, didn't I? That was, I sobbed to you a couple of months after I really sobbed.
Yeah, but I remember the phone call. I remember where I was when you phoned me and you were like, do you know who Naina Florence is? And I was like, who is this name? I know this name.
God, I'm nuts.
Little did I know that I would soon fall deeply in love with her. But you were like, you have to watch this video. Like, it's literally changed my life.
I think I even said, like, you don't even have to watch it because it will be like, do you know what I mean? But just know that it changed
bit. But here's a play-by-play of everything she said.
Yeah.
It's a huge fucking thing. And also shifting your identity at any point in your life, because I think a part of what you felt, stop me if I'm saying too much, at any point,
absolutely, yeah, go on,
a huge part of what you were saying, I think you were expressing some kind of like annoyance at yourself that you didn't kind of realize this earlier.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
You were like, but Naina's so young and she's realizing this young. Yeah. And I feel like I'm so old realizing this.
Well, also because it seems pretty obvious, like I was always like the most interested in like race and culture, or the most well read on like equality and justice, and it's like, how could you? It's like, yeah, of course you were really interested in it. It's like, oh god, you're really interested for a white girl. It's like, yeah, no, white girls just aren't that, white girls don't care that much. Like, there is another layer there. Like, it is personal.
It's in your blood,
for you.
Harry.
Yeah, it's in your blood. Like, I do feel frustrated because it's like, oh fuck, they got me too. The whitest mixed race girl ever, and she was still impacted by racism. Like, shit. And that's why I think I've said before, like, I've toyed with how much I want to speak about it, because in part goes out saying the privilege. So it's almost like, how useful of all of this, like, it's not, I'm not ignorant to the fact that I'm now on a podcast talking about my experience with race, and there are a million, for example, black girls out there who have really insightful and just like voices that need to be heard, whether they're insightful or not, and they don't have a space. And in part, so I've been afforded so much privilege that's allowed me to have this. But then also, by not talking about it, how much is that making room for other people to talk? Or is it just me further perpetuating, like just sustaining that role of the white supremacist in me?
The dilemma of should I speak, should I not speak? And the dilemma of...
Who am I?
Yeah, it's literally an identity fucking crisis. It's like, who am I? Who have I been all this time? And the answer is, you have been... kind of brainwashed out of being half of yourself.
Yeah, it's funny because at the same time I never felt good about it, but it's also that I think I also have the level of frustration because, as I said earlier with the class thing, it's like, I'll shapeshift. I changed my whole fucking voice so I could sound less working class. It's like, and I did everything I could so I could be less mixed race. It's like, God, you're a real fucking Libra, aren't you, Wing? Like, fucking shapeshifter. Talk about people pleasing.
And then you get a podcast review that says you're jarringly posh or unbearably posh.
Quite a compliment, really.
Wow.
I've done a good job of transcending my class, as they say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've put on a good show, yeah.
100%. The Oscar goes to you, honestly.
Yeah.
I love to hear it. Like, I literally think that's so just fucking great. Just discoveries.
It is discoveries, yeah, but it's not the fun discoveries that you think you're going to make.
No. Kind of discovery that makes you cry for 2 years. Okay.
Yeah. So still figuring it out. We'll see. I don't know. I want to redact everything else I've ever said about my own experience with race within this space. And I want to deliver everything I've just said with a tablespoon of salt all over it. So you can pinch as you like, yeah, and not take me seriously, because I'll probably regret speaking about it as soon as the episode goes up.
And can that just go with every single thing we say on the podcast as
yeah,
well?
Ever. Yeah.
Just cover it in soul.
Everything we ever said was a mistake.
Yeah. I think we end it here, to be honest. I was think we were just sort of looking through your answers, being like, should we just find
umming and ahhing?
Should we just like, oh, should we just find one more just to like kind of tide us over to a full hour? And then we're like, no, I think we should just leave it actually on that.
Okay.
I think that's the crux of the episode. Like, I don't think we should just scrap around for like, oh my god, now we're gonna go back and talk about school. It's like, no.
Yeah, yeah. No. I think the crux is like, oh, I don't have one. Forget it. Forget I said anything.
We're honestly Horcrux hunting. Let's find some cruxes.
Yeah.
I was like, no, we found them all.
Literally.
We found them all.
I think my crux is I'm very grateful to everyone listening.
Same.
It's so strange.
We say it. I know you say we don't say it enough. I kind of think we bore everyone by saying thank you. I don't know what you guys want.
Yeah, I definitely don't. We can never say it enough.
Well, thank you so much for listening and just being here and just sending all your amazing thoughts. It also, we're kind of having this weird thing where we're kind of growing more on Spotify than on Instagram. So I just want to say, if you're listening on Spotify, we have an Instagram that's called Seffy and Wing, where that's where we get all these questions and stuff, because
yeah,
people seem to not know where the Instagram is.
I think people know where the Instagram is.
We've had a few messages.
Not in about 6 months.
True.
You know why? Because I changed the name to Goes Without Saying Pod. So if you search Goes Without Saying, you'll find us. So we haven't had a message like that in a long time, Seffy. I'm going to call you out and say that was a big fat lie.
Well, maybe that one just haunts me that we got, where it's like, I've been trying to find you guys for ages. Like, where the fuck?
I think it does.
I was like, shit, we fucked up.
They said it really nicely. What's happening?
But thank you so much. And
I hope you're privileged as fuck. I hope I'm booming through a mansion in the countryside somewhere.
You're about to go riding.
Do you know what I mean? I hope you're fucking rolling in it.
Oh my god, actually, just one funny thing that someone said to me once.
What?
I met this guy at uni, just like one of my first week there, and he just came up to me and was like, so do you ride?
Oh, fuck off.
And I was like, right, what?
It's like, yeah, I ride the bus to Audi. That's all you need to know.
I thought he was being sexual.
Oh.
I thought it was like a sexual thing. Like, do you ride? I was like, what are you saying?
What the fuck?
I was like, I don't know what. It took like 2 minutes. I was like, what are you saying? He was like, do you ride? Do you ride? And I was like, what? What do you mean? Do you ride? And then he was like, horses. Oh, no. No.
Nice. Okay. Well, let's go. Look, if you don't hear from us, you know what to do.
Assume the worst.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.